Daniel's dream could be written into an epic fantasy novel. In fact, it reminds me a bit of a novel that I'm reading right now. It's a post-apocalyptic story about the future of the human race after the rise of a race of vampires. Yes, vampires. One scene from the book features the gathering of a small town out on the plains of Texas as they discuss what has been happening in the town. Over the course of a couple nights, 70 people have gone missing, simply vanishing in the middle of the night. And during the meeting, the grizzled sheriff, who intimately knows the feeling of loss because years before he has lost his wife and his son to an attack, gets up to address the crowd about what has been happening. He attempts to reassure the people, but it becomes apparent very quickly that he doesn't know what's happening any more than they do. Feeling as if they have no control over the situation and that there is no one among them who has the ability to make it stop, the crowd becomes agitated, asking question after question as they try to make sense of what is happening. Soon, someone proposes that whoever may be taking their loved ones away might very well be sitting amongst them in the crowd, which only serves to raise the anxiety of the room even more. Soon, the meeting devolves into people shouting at one another, while the sheriff sneaks out of the room, vowing to find out what is happening as soon as possible. Because he knows that sense of panic, that sense of anxiety about the future, and not feeling as if they have control over what happens to them. It is also the same sense of panic the people of Babylon and those who have been exiled to it felt when Daniel is dreaming his dream in today's text. Daniel already knows the anxiety of having his homeland torn apart. He is a Jewish person living in exile in Babylon. Now, arrogant kings and kingdoms have come to power and they threaten his current home, making for a chaotic life, always wondering when and from where the next threat will come. And then Daniel has this dream, something that reads as if it is a post-apocalyptic fantasy novel. It's as if he writes, "In the dark of night, the four winds of heaven swept over the waters of the great sea. And as the winds whipped up the water, white caps began to form like the frosted tips of a tree branch covered in snow, swaying in the violent wind. Soon the waters become waves and crash against each other, and then emerging from the waves come four great beasts, each different from the other and yet equally ugly and terrifying." What Daniel describes could be the start of a series in the same genre as George R. R. Martin's Game of Thrones or Harry Potter. It seems otherworldly, as if it's a piece of fiction created to scare children and delight adults. Yet the story isn't just a story. As Daniel says, "I saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another." We know that it is in apocalyptic form, which we'd normally equate with something like the vampire novel that I'm reading, or The Walking Dead, where a virus has turned all of the world's dead into zombies, and there is little hope for the human race. Which is almost how Daniel's dream starts, with four terrible beasts rising out of the water, and the dream begins with a sense of dread about what is to come. Much like our collective feelings about the result of the next 48 hours. This election has been fraught with people who have wondered what is happening to our country, people all up and down the political spectrum. It's no wonder that some of us who hear this dream from Daniel would immediately begin to imagine two of the presidential candidates coming out of the water. or, at the very least, one of them. We fear what terrible things they may do once in office, not to mention the damage that will be done to our country and possibly the rest of the world in the wake of Tuesday. Many of us have scrolled through Facebook or listened to the news with a sense of overwhelming dread creeping up inside as we think about the next 4 years. Very much aware of what the last 18 months have brought. For many, this election feels very apocalyptic in nature, almost as if we might really see a zombie apocalypse when this is all over, because at this point, anything could happen, a feeling that is only heightened now that the Cubs have won the World Series. But Daniel serves to remind us that how we define apocalyptic is very different from how apocalyptic literature functions, especially in the Bible. It's not about the end of the world, even if it seems that way. Instead, it is a very specific genre in which vivid imagery is used to remind people that things may be terrible and chaotic right now, but if you hold on a little bit longer, if you don't give up, help is on the way. Because evil does not have the final say. Apocalyptic literature is a message of hope in an otherwise bleak world. Which brings us back to Daniel. He says, I watched then because of the noise of the arrogant words that the horn was speaking. And as I watched, the beast was put to death and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like the human being coming with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the ancient one that was presented before him. No beast can live forever. No beast has ultimate power. Not in Daniel's dream and not in our world either. Because in the end, the only one with any real power is the ancient one, God. The only one who has the power to outlast any beast that may come up out of the waters. The one who has seen many beasts come and go, doing everything to destroy them before they destroy us. Even now. Especially now. While the beasts Daniel imagines are kingdoms and kings, very real and concrete people, I'm not so sure that's true in our case. I'm not so sure that the presidential candidates are the beasts we imagine them to be. Instead, God is interested in destroying the real beasts of our world, divisiveness and greed, love of power, racism, sexism, chronic anxiety, fear, and of course, death. These are the beasts that allow evil to thrive among us, the beasts that are real and threaten to destroy us. But they too, all of them, will eventually be put to death. It may be chaotic and difficult until that time, but they will come to an end. Because God is the ancient one who will outlast them, the one who gathers all his people, the holy ones, and all, the whole of creation into the kingdom. Daniel reminds us at the end that the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. We will receive the kingdom. It will be ours, together with those who have gone before us. And we will live with God, free of every beast that torments us, no matter how the next 4 years go.